Corporate whores equal corporate wars. It would be easy, considering American history, to describe this country as warlike. And while such a description would be technically correct, it would be misleading, for it ignores the social forces which drive men to war. For chief among those forces is the media, as it provides the narrative which focuses the rationale for war. Secondarily is the role of the state, as it too shapes the story. Lastly, and perhaps most importantly, is the role of the corporations and their lobbyists, who may often be seen as the engines of war. For in every war, no matter its stated basis, some business or group of businesses makes money off the miseries and carnage of military conflict. As far back as the Civil War, America's most deadly war to boot, we saw the emergence of great U.S. meat companies, first to feed the swelling multitude of soldiers, then to feed millions of American consumers, newly learning how to relish meat in a can. Weapons manufacturers, ammunition makers, jet makers, bomber designers, and voila, before you know it, you're in military-industrial complex country. War is extreme big business, and when we're not busy using such weapons abroad, we're selling them to so-called allies for internal repression or constantly draining border wars between neighbors. For all of our talk of peace and stability, the U.S. is by far the world's biggest arms merchant, and members of Congress are but lobbyists once removed, both during and after their terms expire. As schools close in major American cities and libraries shutter their doors, weapons of war are being funneled to police departments in the name of the latest pseudo-war, terrorism. As we stoke the fires for tomorrow's wars, we close the doors to knowledge and reason. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.